We are going to turn to Hebrews 11 for our study tonight, but I don't want you to turn in your Bibles there. I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. There is a passage here that I am daily being reminded of its truthfulness. And I will add the word unfortunately. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now remember, Ecclesiastes is a book that Solomon is writing after having spent a good deal of his life searching out the meaning of life apart from God. He's trying everything under the sun to find contentment, enjoyment, fulfillment, and he can't find it. And he concludes, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. He gets to the end and he's bringing the conclusion. He's offering some counsel in verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He's talking to young people, at least relative to him. And he's saying, while you have the opportunity, don't waste your life like I just have over this past number of years. Enjoy life, and the end of it in verse 13 is by being obedient to the will of God. Do that now while you are physically able, because there's going to come a point in time when the body is going to break down. And life will become discouraging. Verse 2, he begins detailing exactly what's going to happen with the body. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. I think what he's talking about here is man's mental abilities, his outlook upon life. As we get older, we become easily more discouraged with what's going on in the world. And sometimes apart from a relationship with God and knowing what God is going to do, it can be quite depressing. You don't have the physical abilities that you once had. You can't do the things that you once did. And the idea here of the clouds returning after the rain, usually when it storms and the storm is over, the sun comes out, the air is fresh, and oh, this is wonderful. But if the clouds come back and you look outside now, it's gloomy. And that's the outlook on life. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. The keepers of the house, I believe, refer to the hands. And the hands are trembling. And that's often what happens when a person gets older. Ecclesiastes 12. And the strong men shall bow themselves. Apart from the heart, what is the strongest muscle in the body? No, not the tongue. Although spiritually it may be. The thighs. They're always told to lift with your legs because that's the strongest muscle. Well, now the muscles are deteriorating and the knees bow. It's harder to stand up. And the grinders cease because they are few. What would the grinders be? Your teeth. They fall out. They didn't have dentistry back then like we do now, and the artificial teeth were not that too very common or anything. And those that look out the windows be darkened. Your eyes and cataracts. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Your hearing goes. And miracle ear is put on your speed dial. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. Your sleep is easily interrupted. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. As a young person, you can holler and scream. But as you get older, your voice diminishes. You can't do that as well anymore. If you're singing, you don't have the range of voice that you once had. Verse 5, and when they shall be also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, you start becoming tentative about how you live life. You don't drive as quickly. You don't walk as quickly. Going up and down steps or ladders. Most people are more conservative, cautious. The almond tree shall flourish. What's he talking about there? Well, when an almond tree buds, it's white as snow. That's what he's talking about. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. Grasshopper scoots along, and an older person walks with a shorter stride. I've noticed over the last couple of years my stride has decreased. And the mourners go about the streets, wherever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. I think he's talking in verse 6 about things such as heart attack, strokes, and that type of thing that come quickly. But the mourners go about the street. A man's desire will fail because he's spending all his time at the funeral home for the funeral of his friends when he used to be out doing things with them. That's the outlook of what it's like as we age, apart from a vital relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he concludes in verse 18, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. It doesn't have to be that way, though. The body is going to break down. But that doesn't mean that life needs to diminish in its quality. I want to look tonight at the blessings of three old men. I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles to Genesis. I will put the passage in Hebrews up on the board because then I can refer back to it and you don't have to be flipping back and forth. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. As I said last week, when you look at these things written in the book of Hebrews, it's kind of matter-of-fact reading. Nothing just happened. There's no drama that seems to be apparent in the way the author of Hebrews is telling what's going on. But if you go back to the book of Genesis, that is not the case. So let's look at all three of these tonight. First turn to Genesis chapter 27, and there we'll find the blessing of Isaac to Jacob. Now, while you're turning there, I just want to remind you of a prophecy. It's found in Genesis chapter 25, beginning at verse 21, and it says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. That was told to Rebekah. It seems inconceivable to me that she didn't tell that to Isaac. I think she just about had to tell that to Isaac. I think the two of them, from the very beginning, knew the prophecy of God was the older shall serve the younger. They knew that. What happened during the life of Jacob and Esau. Well, the scripture tells us that Jacob loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Esau was a man of the field, an outdoorsman, and Isaac loved that. Jacob was a little bit more of a mama's boy, a little bit more, endeared to his mother. Remember, Jacob knew the prophecy. Now, with that in mind, let's read chapter 27. It came to pass when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son? And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Should Jacob or Isaac have blessed Esau with the first of the blessings? The answer is no. Isaac is going against the will of God. Now therefore, my son, and Rebekah stepping in here, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. We're going to circumvent this thing. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. He went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, put them upon Jacob, her younger son. She put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Liar. I have done according as thou hast bade me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. I am lying up a storm, but I want the blessing of God. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Well, I just went out in the yard, and there he was. And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me, you liar. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is of Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, Yep, sure am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, The smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Which is the blessing that God gave to Abraham, who passed it on down to Isaac. And Isaac did this unknowingly. In fact, he thought he was blessing Esau. Wait a minute. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning. How by faith could he bless Jacob? It was a ruse. It was a bunch of lies. How could the writer of Hebrews say that? Now let's read on. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he had also had made savory mead and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. And said, oh my goodness. Well, the man is literally shaking in his boots. Literally. Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. I blessed him. It's too late. Can't change it. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. Do the same for me. But you can't do the same. Because part of the blessing was, be Lord over thy brethren. Well, you can't have lords over lords. It doesn't work that way. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not rightly named Jacob, for he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. With corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. Literally, I understand the Hebrew to read, away from the fatness of the earth. They dwelt in Edom, which is hill country. It was not a place where crops were growing and vitality. And the dew from heaven above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. You're going to go and... It's not going to be economically prosperous to you. And you're going to be under your brother's domain. And you're going to revolt against him. And sooner or later, you'll break the bonds for a little bit. But it's not going to be pretty. That's all I can say. Why didn't he change the blessing? Why didn't he call Isaac back and say, wait a minute, you lied up and down before me, I rescind everything I said, I'm giving it to Esau. Here's what he did by faith. He said, you know what? I realize that God's will needs to be done. I knew this from the very beginning. I didn't want it to take place. I did everything in my power to make you the son that I could bless over and over and over and over again. But God had his way. Let me put it this way. By faith, Isaac realized that the will of God will be accomplished no matter what man may seek to do in order to prevent it. It would have been infinitely better if Isaac had realized this much earlier. One commentary that I was reading said, think of what would have happened had Esau gotten there first. Isaac would have blessed Esau. Esau would have received the blessing contrary to the will of God. God said, no. That's not my plan. I will not allow that to happen. Now, God didn't sanctify the means, but he did sanctify the ends. God's will was ultimately done. And what he's saying here, if I could go back and live my life over again, back to the days of my youth when you guys were born, I would not have insisted upon my will, but God's will. And may I say to you that a person who is reaching the end of their years, if they can communicate to the generations that come behind them that God's will be done, they've been a blessing. Next one. Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Got to turn over to Genesis chapter 48. You know the story how his brothers sold him into slavery and he goes down into Egypt and eventually he's promoted in the Pharaoh's court. He's second in command in the nation of Egypt and he preserves Israel. They get reunited as a family together, but they're still down in Egypt. Genesis chapter 48, and beginning reading at verse 1. It came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz, which is renamed Bethel, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me. And said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. In other words, I am taking your two sons and putting them in the blessing of my sons, in the inheritance. Joseph, you're getting a double portion as the eldest son. Now, he wasn't chronologically, but he was the firstborn of Rachel. And Rachel's the one he intended to marry. Never intended to marry Leah. He worked for Rachel, and then he got deceived. And you know the story there. But to him, Joseph was the firstborn. And so he gets the double portion of the inheritance. Drop on down. Verse 8, and Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Joseph said unto his father, these are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. That should have brought some memories back. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath shown me also thy seed. I thought you were dead. I thought I'd never see you again. But God is so great. His blessings are so good. Not only do I get to see you, I get to see your kids, my grandkids. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Joseph took them, both Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched forth out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. He crossed his hands. Joseph brought them and put them in the right place where he could put them out easily. And knowingly, wittingly, Jacob crosses his hands. And he's giving the right hand a blessing, which is the predominant one, to the younger. Verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Interestingly, here is a reference, veiled reference, to the Trinity. The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, that's the Father. The one which fed me all my life long, that's the Spirit, and the angel which redeemed me is the Son. Bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon him. Hey, Dad, your vision's kind of blurry there. You got it backwards. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude nations. What had Jacob learned? Well, let's go back in our story. Jacob's the one, oh, by the way, which I didn't say. If Rachel or Rebecca told Isaac that Jacob is the one to be blessed, don't you think she probably told that to Jacob? I think Jacob knew all his life that he was the one to inherit the blessing from God. And he's seeing his father doing his level best to keep that from happening. And Jacob's saying to myself, you know what, if I just go on here and don't do anything, program of God is going to be interrupted. I've got to act in order that God will fulfill his word. I've got to do something, even something outside the will of God, in order that the will of God might be accomplished. Think about that one for a second or two. That doesn't blow your mind. I've got to be disobedient to the will of God so the will of God can be accomplished. Does that make any sense? It did to Jacob. I think at this point in time, Jacob realized that human ingenuity was not necessary to accomplish the will of God. Only faithfulness to what was revealed. I think God was guiding his hands. Joseph didn't quite understand it. You know, this isn't the norm. But Jacob said, no, this is the way God has spoken. This is what will take place. You don't need to do things around your own way. And if we could communicate that to the next generation, how much better would the next generation be? We can talk about Rebekah and Isaac and lack of their obedience to God in parenting. We can talk about Jacob and Esau and Jacob's trying the constant friction. You know, if Jacob understood this earlier in his life, what his relationship with Esau might have been like. The two were constantly at each other. So they're right from the womb, they're grabbing onto each other and fighting within the womb of Rebekah. Because we thought, well, we've got to do what we've got to do to get the will of God accomplished. What peace there would have been between the two. Jacob learned it later in life, but he learned it. He passed it on. Which brings us to Joseph. Don't have to go far on that one. Genesis chapter 50. And beginning in verse 22. He's down there, he's second in command, he saves the whole nation of Israel by his leadership in the drought or the famine that came. And he's employed by the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh wasn't going to let him go. You're doing a good job here, you're staying right here, buddy. So he knew he was going to be there all his life. Verse 22. Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought upon Joseph's knee. So he saw grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. And bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and was put in a coffin in Egypt. Not only was Joseph there for the rest of his life, but apparently he knew that even when he died, Pharaoh was not going to let the children of Israel just disappear. They had been a blessing to the land. And the scripture tells us that after Joseph, there came a Pharaoh that did not recognize the blessings that were there and enslaved the people. And they were going to be there for 400 years. Joseph realized that. But he said, you know what? As bleak as things look today, God will deliver us. There is going to be coming a time when God's going to let us go back to the land that he's promised to give us. So in light of that, I want you to make sure that my body gets back there because that's home. He's looking to the future. Was that always in his youth, his outlook? And the answer is nope. Remember when God gave him a dream? Well, first of all, his father gave him a coat of many colors. And then he had this dream where the rest of his brethren are bowing down to him, honoring him. And he goes out, hey, guess what, guys? One of these days, you guys are all going to bow down in front of me. Isn't that great? Yeah, right. Now remember, while he was first born in the eyes of Jacob, as far as the blessing goes, he was still almost the lowest man on the totem pole. Only Benjamin was younger than him. And they weren't going to have that. He thought he could just go out and say, look, here's the will of God. You guys should start blessing me now. Well, where'd that get him? Thrown into a pit, thrown into slavery, thrown into prison. But now he says, I've realized it's not necessary to gloat over the abilities and the opportunity that God gives. Regardless of what happens today, God's blessings of tomorrow will come. His pride was knocked down. He didn't want what God promised for tomorrow today. If God promises something for tomorrow, you just need to patiently wait for tomorrow. And that's what he's saying to his brethren. It's going to be a while till we're out of here. But wait patiently. God will accomplish his will. And if we can communicate that to the next generation, what a blessing that will be to them. In all three of these blessings, these are things that these men learned later in life and communicated them later in life. And even in their old age, they had a place in the plan of God for blessing. And no matter how old we get, no matter how much the body deteriorates, if we're walking in the center of God's will, man, do we have a great purpose and usefulness to the next generation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace tonight. Thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us day in and day out, even when we don't deserve them. Like Jacob, who lied through his teeth to get the blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, that we need not seek to be ingenious about how the will of God is accomplished, but just be faithful. And Lord, may we be patient and waiting for the will of God to be accomplished. For we know that your word will never return unto you void. It will accomplish that which you set it out to do. May we rest in that, but even more so, may we communicate that faithfully to the generation that comes behind us. And may they take the advice of Solomon and remember the Lord in the days of their youth and live lives of prosperity in the will of God for the glory of God. I pray in the Son of God's name. Amen. Have a good week.